All right, for those who are left, you could turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. You know, keys, these kind of keys, you know, they play an interesting part in our everyday life. Sometimes there's battles concerning keys, in my home anyway, especially my keys. But we have car keys, house keys, work keys, keys to the lockbox, to the toolbox, and depending where you work, maybe on your lunchbox. But I suppose the defining purpose of a key is to grant authority to its holder to open or close something for the purpose of letting someone or something out, or let someone or something in, or the inverse of that, of locking someone or something in, or locking someone or something out. You know, I remember as a child being somewhat fascinated with the keys that my father had. At that time, we had, who knows what a skeleton key is? Okay, you kind of know what a skeleton key is. We had a skeleton key in our house. That tells you kind of the age of our house. One of those keys I began my electrical career with by sticking it into the receptacle. It temporarily turned off the lights in the house and turned me on. My parents recalled the event, the lights going dim, hearing me run down the steps and sitting quietly in a chair with my eyes as big as billiard cue balls. I actually learned about welding. The key was welded. Like many children who are fascinated with keys, I probably gathered a set of old keys to play around with and probably quizzed my dad. I can't quite remember of what each key was used for. I could just see myself, you know, asking Dad about what's that one for? What's that one for? Now, the Bible speaks of different keys in the possession of our Lord, and I would like to explore those keys in today's message, which I will title My Savior's Keys. My Savior's Keys. Let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I pray you work in us today in a very big way, that you touch our hearts, that we would be willing to allow the Spirit of God to be magnified in our hearts this morning. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Katie, I told Katie I had this thought of a message, and it got turned around. I couldn't get to that part of the message, so this is going to be a little different, Katie. But it'll be good. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 11. I want to begin in verse 37. Luke 11, 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? It's both parts, folks. It's inside and outside. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees. He begins some woes here. For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And here's the text verse for this morning. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. This key mentioned here is the Greek word kleis. It simply means a key, as in shutting a lock, literally or figuratively. I first want to talk about some other keys found in the Bible rather than this one, and I'll circle back to the key in our text verse toward the end of the message, but I want to begin the message talking about some other keys of my Lord and Savior. And may I say, oh, what a blessing for those who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, for those keys in His hands are keys of authority to open doors for a certain period of time before we close them. And at that appointed time, they will be forever locked. Those doors will be. Matthew 25, beginning verse 1, said, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had the light of the word, but they didn't have God living in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. The door was shut. There's a child's song that simplifies this thought. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? You know, there are some important keys that we find in the Bible. First of all, there is the key of David. Now, before I expound upon this key, there's something I've been praying about. There's a song I want to play for you. It's a contemporary song, meaning it was written in 2018. Now, contemporary isn't necessarily bad. We need new songs, but we need good songs. Now, the song has already been taken by other artists and used as what I would call bridge music to what I call the dark church of today. Now, I don't want to discredit the dark church. We may need to learn something from that, because they do have a tendency to love. I mean, we can be like these lawyers that Jesus was talking about and be so strict and push out the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. But the version I'll play from the original writer and singer is accompanied by a piano, a congregational refrain, and an orchestra backup. It's a very scriptural song that will bring you to worship in the throne room of God that Brother Mike has been recently focused on. So I'm going to play that for you. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Root of David. Hath prevailed. To open the book. And to loose the seven seals thereof. Isaiah 22:22 says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Jesus has a key. It's a single key. It is the key that gives him access to the throne of God in heaven, and also the earthly throne of Israel that he will sit upon in his millennial reign on this earth that lays ahead. He's the only one that is worthy and has the right to sit upon the throne of God. And I'm just doing a lot of repeat of what Brother Mike has already said. All our hope rests upon Christ having this key. John wept over the thought that there may not be anybody worthy to receive this key. I'll tell you, we're human. It reminds me of John the Baptist when he was kind of fallen. And, you know, he knew the Lord, but he wasn't sure. And he said, go tell John. Go tell John. I've told you before that books and movies seem to be bound to the same simple themes that we watch over and over again. We have seen this scene many times at the end of a movie where the bad guy seems to have won, to have dealt the final blow to the good guy. Silence and despair upon the audience, a feeling of all lost hope. Then out of the ashes, up from the grave, emerges the good guy, who then defeats the enemy once and for all. Is this not the replica of emotion at the resurrection? And in Revelation chapter 5, as John's heart sinks to a heart of despair concerning that no one could unseal the book, but then as like out of the ashes of despair emerges Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who has prevailed, who has won the victory, who holds the key and the right to the throne, and who is worthy to open the seals. Brother Mike didn't bring this out in this way. He did bring this out. But he, Jesus, if you'll look in the scripture, is not handed the book. Neither does he ask for the book. It says that he came and took the book out of the right hand of the Almighty. It's an action of authority. Jesus has more keys. He has a set of keys, plural. Revelation 1:18. It says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus has the keys, plural, of hell and death. One key will loose the dead, the unsaved, to stand before him in the great white throne judgment. The other key is fitted for the door of hell. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus had not only the key of David, the right to the throne, he also has the keys of judgment, the authority and right to condemn unbelievers into hellfire. Prior to the final judgment of death and hell, Jesus gives one of the keys of the bottomless pit, to certain angels to use. One to release something out of hell. Brother Mike will be talking about these as he moves on. Another to lock something into hell. Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Jesus gave him that key. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them, be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Then later another angel is sent with a key in Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. There also appears to be yet another set of keys. Keys that provide the right of passage to the kingdom of God in heaven. I believe that these keys, figurative keys, were given to the nation of Israel at first, then today given over to the church. Let's look back at our text verse in Luke 11, verse 52. It says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key," singular here, "of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." Now I believe that the keys to heaven have been handed over now to the authority of the church. Matthew, if you turn to Matthew chapter 16, might be a good place for you to have your finger in. We'll come back to that in a little bit as well. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some of them say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. By the way, that rock means a greater rock, a larger rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys, plural, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now in Luke chapter 11, verse 52, to the Jews, particularly the lawyers he's speaking to, whose focus was on the law, he mentions only one key. The key of knowledge is referred to. Now I believe Israel actually had two figurative keys. The first they were already given. Acts 7:37, it says, "This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." Now that's just a congregation of people there, not to be compared to the church of today. "With the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Romans 3:1 tells us a little bit about this key. "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God," the word of God. They had that key. The Jew had the key of the word of God. We are indebted to them for carrying that word of God. But when they received the key of the living word of God, the one who the prophet John the Baptist prepared the way for, Jesus Christ himself, they not only rejected him themselves, but they kept the people from him. They kept the key of the law, but him who brings the knowledge of God's word, the key to all understanding of the Bible, they rejected and used their authoritative position to hide the gospel for self-preservation of their religion, where they are the benefactors and they are the rule. Jesus gave definitive woes to the Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers of the Jewish religious system in his day. The last woe given in verse 52, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." The church has been given keys. And like a father who lends you his personal keys, they come with great responsibility. Now let's look at Matthew 16 once again. And I want to put some emphasis on some of the wording. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It don't matter what man says. "And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And he's asking you that question. Each person, "Whom say ye that I am?" "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That wasn't quite enough, folks. Listen to what Jesus says. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, man hasn't revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, a greater rock, I will build," future tense, "my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I believe the keys to heaven, the responsibility of getting the gospel out, to see the power of God poured out, is now in the hands of the church. We have the keys to a lost and dying world. Two keys. The key of teaching and preaching the truth of God's word. And there's only other one necessary key. The key of the power of the Holy Spirit that opens a personal communication between God and man. Those two things. Another verse that depicts this same responsibility is in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here's the verse. But speaking, here's your two keys. Another word for those two keys. The truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now in consideration of verse 19, and I will give unto thee, in Matthew 16, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There is a grave responsibility and privilege that we have in the keys that God has given to us as His church. Particular keys that directly connect people to Christ. To have them receive Christ personally. To lead them in their own personal communion with Christ. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. There's churches, there's religions that are in the way. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's the connection. We need to show them the way and get out of the way. Are we being responsibility? Are we taking responsibility for these keys? The key of truth, getting the Word of God out. The key of love, pleading with God for lost and troubled souls by and through nothing else but the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray the Holy Spirit down. We can give the Word of God out. We can do that part. But man, do we do that? Do we have the next key? Because that next key is needed for them to enter into heaven. The Holy Spirit. In Baptist churches, we can get kind of quiet. We can kind of, I think, quench the Holy Spirit. You got the other group that just raises the Holy Spirit up and throws the truth down the drain. Throws holiness out. That's what I mean by the dark church. I mean, they got some things to our shame. With heads bowed and eyes closed. We have an invitation. out first of all. Jesus has the key of David, the one who prevailed. He is worthy. Worship him. Revelation chapter 5 is worship. You want to know what worship is? Get a hold of that chapter. Jesus also has the keys of death and hell, the one who will judge. Fear him, ye saints, and fear nothing else. Fear for the lives of the lost. Jesus has given the church keys, the keys to heaven. To the kingdom of heaven. The key of the gospel and the key of the power of the Holy Spirit to make His word alive in the souls of men, to convict sinners and convince the saved. The truth in love, whose burden of care and concern flows out of us by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One door, and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? That door is going to be locked forever one day. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they testify of me. You do business with your God today. But you only do it if that Spirit is working in your heart and life. Amen. I hope the message encouraged you, causes you to worship. I'd like to conclude a statement in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, the woman at the well, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's your two keys. There's another word for those two keys. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your words today. I pray Your Holy Spirit got a hold of our hearts and has done a work. And encourage us today to handle those keys that You've handed over to Your church. Just be with each family and the needs that are there. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.